We're just going to reflect on a piece of God's word in John chapter 3. It's a bit about John the Baptist. If you don't have a Bible, it's really going to help you to have one in front of you because rather than have sort of points on a PowerPoint, I want you to kind of remember this passage and let the verses that we're going to look at be just the reminders to you. We're just simply going to look at four verses in John chapter 3. And it's John chapter 3, verses 26 to 30. I once, raise your hand if you don't have a Bible. Phil and Davis and others will just be bringing, thanks Matt, we'll be bringing some to just pass around. And I once had a really influential and amazing pastor, Rick Warren, say this in an interview. He said, you can't grow without change. You can't have change without loss. And where there's loss, you need to learn to grieve. So if you want to learn to grow, you need to learn how to grieve. We need to learn how to cope with loss. And you know, when Jesus is present, he changes us. When Jesus is present, he is at work, and often that's uncomfortable. It's wonderful, but it's often uncomfortable. And so I want us to learn from John the Baptist about how he coped when things were changing for him. And we pick that up in verse 26 of John chapter 3. They came to John and they said to him, Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, well, he is baptizing and everyone is going over to him. And if you jump down to chapter 4, you'll see just in verses 1 and 2 what was happening. The Pharisees had heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not John, Jesus, who baptized, but his disciples. And when the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. So things were changing for John. There was some loss that John was going through. And how did he cope with that? Well, that's what we're going to look at in verse 27 to 30. And I'm just going to pray for us that as we look at this, God would prepare us and help us for any change and loss in our own lives, but also for us as a church. So let's just bow our heads. Let's just be still for a moment. Holy Spirit, we believe you are real. You're here. And we believe your word, God, that it's powerful. Speak to us through it, we pray. Lord, help us in changing times. Help us in the changes in our own lives and changes in our life as a church, that you would help us have prepared hearts to know how to cope with change and loss. For I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I spoke this morning to Oasis. If you're a visitor here with us, Oasis is a church in Hangleton that have asked us to consider adopting them. I spoke to them this morning about how much I felt needed to change in the church and how they would experience loss as part of that change. I want to say tonight, Holland Road, that though there is the loss that they will change, they will experience of so much that they have known changing, there is also a loss and change that we will experience if this is the way God leads us. Because one of the things we'll be looking at and exploring more over these coming months is that if this is something God is leading us into, then we know that part of it will involve the sending and releasing of key people. People that feel God's call to go and serve in that place. And there will be a change and a loss that comes with that. There will be a change and loss for those who stay here. And there will be a change and loss for those people who go. So how do we cope when things change? How do we cope with loss, whether it's for us as a church or in our own lives as God challenges us and works in us? Well, let's see what John the Baptist says as he responds to those who said, look, you're losing all your disciples. How does he respond? Well, look what he says in verse 27. To this, John replied, a man can receive only what is given him from heaven. John says, in effect, remember, everything is a gift from heaven. Everything. Your breath, my breath, your life, our lives, this day, at this huge privilege of gathering together God's word, God's spirit, eternal life, forgiveness, the huge privilege of having freedom together. It's all a gift. It's all a gift. Everything we have is a gift. I was using this little illustration this morning for people. You know, it's like something comes down from heaven and you receive it. You know, it's a wonderful gift that you receive. How good you're catching, Judy?
Not very good.
That's pretty good. Can't throw it back. What do you do when you receive something? You don't... Oh, better than mine. Oh, thank you, Sheridan. There we go, another chance. You receive it. And as you receive gifts, you remember that we're not then owners, we're stewards. Everything you and I have, we steward. We don't own. It's not our church. They're not our people. We're stewards. We've been given gifts, each other. And so we remember and we receive and then we pass and we share. You were going to catch it, weren't you, Sheridan? Right? And that's the way it works with gifts. And so, how do we cope with loss and change? Well, we remember that actually it wasn't ours in the first place. It was a gift from heaven. Thanks, Trevor. And so we can then release people and situations and things that we've held very dear and celebrated as wonderful gifts. We can release them into the Lord's hands because they are gifts from him. I heard a leader once say, own nothing. And sweep leaves. Remember that actually, you know, we're not owners. We're stewards. We're servants. And as we do that, as we have open hands in the things that God's given us, he will lead us on. So that's the first thing, verse 27. John replied, a man can receive only what is given him from heaven. And then John says this. He says, you yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Christ, but am sent ahead of him. Should we just say that together? I am not the Christ. Do you want to say that? I am not the Christ. Here's the thing. Jesus is the Christ. We were singing about the Christ, the Savior of the world who's come. Jesus is the Christ, not me, not you. In fact, one of the most helpful things I've heard over this year that I've just kept reminding of myself is this guy who was leading many people, and he said that God spoke to him one day that about the fact that he is not the Savior. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus saved me, and he's already done that. I'm not trying to save the Savior. We are not Holland Road, the Savior for Oasis. Jesus is the Savior. He is the Christ. There's no one of us that is the Savior. He is the Savior. And so it's not about us. It is all about him. It's not about our kingdom. It's all about his kingdom. It's not about our will. It's all about his will. We are not the Christ. Jesus is the Christ. And he will see his will done. Hallelujah. He is able, in Isaiah chapter 9, it says, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end, and the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish it, because he is the Christ. There is only one, and he is the Savior of the world. He is extending his kingdom. He is working out his purposes, and that is good news. And that means that when things change for us, when there's loss, when there's things that even feel confusing, when there's things where it feels like, oh no, this doesn't feel better than it was a few weeks back or a few months back, we can say, but you know what? Actually, we know where it's all heading. We know it's heading to the growth of God's kingdom, and it's all about him. It's not about us. Third thing I want you to see here about how he copes with change. He then says this. He says, the bride belongs to the bridegroom. Who does the bride belong to? The bridegroom. Hey, we're going to have a beautiful picture of that here on Saturday with Dan and Becky getting married. And, you know, weddings are wonderful because they remind us that this is a mystery, a holy mystery that points to the picture of Christ and the church. So who's in that picture of the bride and bridegroom? Who is Christ the picture of? The bridegroom. The bridegroom's a picture of Christ. And who is the church a picture of? The bride. So who does the church belong to? Christ, the bridegroom. The church belongs to Christ. And it's, the church is so precious. I mean, the delight you see in the bridegroom's face as the bride walks down the aisle, you know, and he looks back over his shoulder, you know, it's a wonderful moment. And yet the delight that Jesus has for his bride, the church, it is immense. He treasures it. He died for it. We're going to be coming around communion to remember that. He gave his life for it. The church is in his hands, and it's in good hands. He's got it. It belongs to him. And so, a key thing for us as the church, here and at Oasis, is the bridegroom. To look and hear his voice. It's all about him. And so I love this bit in this where it says, John the Baptist says, the bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom wants and waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. Brothers and sisters, we need to be attentive to the bridegroom's voice. That's why we're beginning a couple of months of really pressing into God in prayer. We've been doing a morning series on growing in prayer. This Wednesday is going to be a day of prayer and fasting as a church where we want to listen and be attentive to the bridegroom's voice, because when you hear the bridegroom speak, when Jesus speaks, it is wonderful. It fills our hearts with joy when we know his leading. And so let's together come and press into him. And I encourage you, if you are visiting with us, maybe you're new to the things of God, there is nothing more wonderful than knowing that the risen Jesus is alive and wants to speak to you and I, wants to be our good shepherd and guide along the way. Let's be attentive to his voice. And then no matter what else is going on, I had the day this week when, do you remember when the rain came down and the Tuesday night, I think it was, and Wednesday morning I woke up early and just thought, you know what, I'm just going to have a quiet time, went down, and really precious time with the Lord, just sensed him, you know, speaking, and then went up and to see Laura and the kids, and we had a great time, Laura and I, just praying and talking together and reading the Bible, and then we noticed that the roof had been leaking in the night. And we just laughed. Because actually, we'd been meeting with the maker of heaven and earth and hearing his voice. And actually, what is a leaking roof when you know the presence of Jesus? I mean, really. And so I want to encourage you, let's be pressing in to hearing the bridegroom's voice. Actually, John's response is, look, you know, I know there's change and loss, but I'm full of joy because I've heard the bridegroom's voice. And then lastly, John says this. He must become greater. I must become less. John's basic answer, if you kind of pull all this together, is, look, you know, I can cope with change and loss because it's not about me. It's all about him. He must become greater. And actually, there's an imperative, not just that Jesus is great and must become greater, but that we must become less. There's a way in which he is lifted up is by us willing to die to ourselves and live for him. That's the amazing miracle of the gospel, that Jesus himself was willing to come and be made low, to die on this cross, that we're remembering as we come and break bread and as we take this cup, that he became nothing and then was exalted. And so too, as we empty ourselves of everything of self, we're able to lift him high and say, Jesus, yes, it is all about you. So I wonder if we can just be still for a moment and prepare our hearts to come to communion, and just in our hearts be echoing this prayer of John the Baptist. He must become greater. I must become less. Jesus, you are the Christ. I am not. I need your saving of me.